Welcome to the Webster Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is kicks, hangs, and slowdowns, how to use a thumb to determine the cause. Today's presenter is Dan Satry. Dan has worked in kicks level 2 support since 1989. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Dan.
Thank you, Joseph, and it's good to see all you guys out there. So today we're going to talk a little bit about what to do when you've got a dump of a kicks region that you had to cancel, and before you canceled it, you took a dump. And it's about how to sort of get started in the dump to figure out what was the cause of the hangup. So, Joseph, if you take us to slide one, please. I'm just going to have one page on talking about how to take this dump, and then the rest of the time we'll be talking about how to look at it. I'll talk a little bit about different types of hangs and the steps for going through the dump and sort of how to figure out how the application program fits in. What are the steps that the application program did that helps to cause the hang? Okay, Joseph, let's go to slide three, please. Okay, so about taking the dump. So my main point here is to just don't use CICS to take it. Like, a lot of times you couldn't, but if you can do a CEMT perform snap, don't. That messes up some clues about what was going on causing the hang. So it's much better to take a comm dump through the console, and the rest of my talk will be assuming that the dump was taken that way. Also, I have at the bottom a couple of links to some must-gathered documents, tech notes, that have some details on like the comm dump command itself. Okay, Joseph, let's go to slide four. Okay, I like to classify different types of hangs into these three categories, and one I call kicks is unhealthy. And that's what happens when you have tasks that are ready to go, they're dispatchable, but the kicks dispatcher is doing something else. Typically what it is it's giving control to another task who has kept it. And in that unhealthy type of kicks, the timestamps tends to be, you know, much older than the time of the dump. And then another category is where kicks is healthy. The kicks dispatcher has no problem getting control. It's just that there are no tasks that are ready to be dispatched. The tasks are all suspended on something or other. We are, in this pitch, not going to talk about this area so much. And then the other category is kicks is healthy. The timestamps are up to date with the dump time, but there's, like, no tasks running. And I think I'll say a few words about each of these categories. Okay, so let's go to number five, please, Joseph. Okay, so the kick is unhealthy thing, the thing to keep in mind here is that the kick dispatcher gives control to one task at a time. And it's really pretty much at the mercy of that task to go about its business and do nice things and give up control every now and then as it suspends to, you know, access databases or file control requests or something. So when a task is dispatched and made running, then the kicks dispatcher just doesn't do anything until that task suspends, and at which point the kicks dispatcher can give control to another task. And so if that task that has been given control, you know, does something that perhaps waits the whole TCV and doesn't return back to the kicks dispatcher, then you're stuck. Then the kicks dispatcher can't give control to any other task. And if that's on the QR, say, then pretty much everything stops. Okay, let's go to slide number six, please, Joseph. For this category, which we're not going to talk about much, that's when the kicks dispatcher does have control, is able to dispatch tasks, but they're all suspended. There are no dispatchable tasks. They're waiting on various and sundry things. And what you have to do if your kicks is hung in this way is depends on what the tasks are suspended on. And there's a bunch of different ways to go about those. You know, with this type of hang, a lot of times you get to max task and with all the tasks stuck on something or other. And then once we get to max task, we don't attach new tasks. So that's a whole type of hang that we're not going to talk about in this pitch so much. Okay, and then let's go to slide number seven, please. And then this one, where kicks is healthy but there are no tasks, that's more of a sympathy sickness kind of thing where, you know, wherever the work is supposed to come from, you know, that's hung up perhaps and is not sending any work. Or sometimes you'll be looking at a dump and trying to say, well, it supposedly hung, but it just doesn't look hung. I mean, sometimes the dump was not the right dump. It wasn't, in fact, taken at a time when Kix was hung. So you have to look out for those. Okay, so let's get started then with slide number 8, Joseph. All right, so the first step when you have a dump and you don't know what's going on is you need to decide if Kix is healthy or not. And the way we do that is we concentrate on the QRTCB. You know, that TCB is still the most important one. All tasks have to start on it. All tasks finish up on it. And on a nice busy system, the Kix dispatcher is very frequently dispatching tasks on the QRTCB. And so what we want to do is compare the last time we've dispatched a task on the QR to the time of the dump. Joseph, let's go to slide 9, please. So we need to figure out what time the dump was taken. And here's a technique that I like. So you do a command called systrace all, max to the bottom, copy a store clock from down there, and run it through this LTOD command. So I have the IP space LTOD space, and then the store clock that you copied. Joseph, let's go to slide 10. So you type in systrace all like that. And now slide 11, please, Joseph. And that output looks like that, max to the bottom of that, and grab a store clock down there, that last one. And let's go to slide 12, please. And then run it through that IP space LTOD command. The way that output looks there, that's ZOS 1.8 and above, looks like that. And the two things that I have circled are the main things. So the top one is store clock. So that's, you know, formatted out, but without any regard to time zone or leap seconds. The reason that's important is because the Kix dispatcher summary, the timestamps that show up in there are of that form, without regard to leap seconds or time zones. Most everywhere else in a dump that you go, the Kix internal trace, the Kix kernel error table has some timestamps in there, Verbex mTrace showing the log, the job log and the console log, all those times have been adjusted for time zone and leap seconds. And so that's the local. So you kind of need both. So the time of the dump in sort of I call formatted store clock, in this case is 1609:39, and in local terms that is 1209:18. Now this one, I particularly picked this one because it has the leap second thing. So very often, I think more common is if you do this on a dump of yours, you'll see that the difference between the store clock and the local is an even number of hours. But a fair number of shops use the leap seconds. In that case, you have a little bit of extra work to sort of convert between formatted store clock and local. But anyway, you need to have both in mind, and especially in the dispatcher, you need to have that formatted store clock time of dump in mind. Okay, Joseph, let's go to slide 13. All right, now, the other thing to determine if Kix is healthy is you need to know, well, when's the last time we've dispatched a task on the QR? And so this is, you know, a very old timestamp that we've had forever in the CSA at offset 50. And you can get to it by doing the verbex for Kix with your release, CFHPD, whatever, 650 here. CSA equals 2. And an offset 50 is a word that kind of looks like on the bottom bullet. It'll be something like, in this case, 1203.425 Fox, which means 12 o'clock and 3 minutes and 42.5 seconds. So that's an excellent and easy place to go see the last time Kix dispatched a task. It's not exactly true, actually. You see there, I say it's also updated on an exec Kix ask time. So anyway, theoretically, I suppose a task could be looping to an exec Kix ask times and updating the CSA on every one of those, and you'd be thrown off a little bit. But that never happens, basically. So you can use this CSA plus 50 time as the last time the Kix dispatcher dispatched a task on the QR. Okay, let's go to slide 14, please. For a good part of the rest of the pitch, we're going to be talking about a particular dump. And in that dump, this is what the time of dump was and the CSA plus 50 time is. You can see on this one that there's not that leap second complication. It's just an even 5 hours between SOAR clock and local. So, and you can see here that there's been some time. Like if we take the local time of dump, 13:07, and compare it to this local time, which is the CSA plus 50 is a local time, it's been about 4 minutes. So nothing's happened on the QR for about 4 minutes. So this is an unhealthy Kix dump. Okay, let's go to slide 15, please. Right, so if that local CSA time and that local time of dump time, if they're real close, then it's a healthy Kix. It's one of those other two categories of hangs where either you have tasks that are suspended or it's not even really hung. But if the times are, some seconds or minutes apart, then it's of the unhealthy category. The next thing to do to help figure out sort of the next place to go is to the dispatcher summary. So I believe we talked about that on slide 16, Joseph. So on that last bullet, this is the verb X for Kix, and DS equals 3. So this is the dispatcher summary, and I want to talk about a couple of columns in this summary that are good ones to note. And one of them is the time of suspend. So each task in there, if it's suspended, it has a time of suspend. And the time of suspend, you need to remember, is not local, is not a local time. It's the same as that store clock, that formatted store clock. So that's in there. Let's go to slide 17, please. And there's another column with the state of the task. And it's typically either dispatchable, suspended, or running, some flavor of running. Okay, Joseph, slide 18, please. And then another column is the mode. Like, is this task running on the QR or suspended on the QR or an LH or whatever? There's a column that tells you that. Okay, slide 19, please, Joseph. Here are a few dispatcher summary snippets. This one is not the main dump that we're going to talk about. This one, the column I have circled, that's the state column, and you see all these tasks are suspended. And suspended is real easy to notice in the dispatcher summary because only when you're suspended do you get a time of suspend and a resource type and name. All of these tasks are suspended. And just to reinforce something I said earlier, so let's say this dump is probably it's probably one where it's a healthy one. So when you look at these suspends, you always want to keep in mind, well, what is the time of dump? And again, that would be the store clock, formatted store clock time. So like sometimes you'll go in here and see that all the tasks went into a file control wait, they're all in FCI awaits, and they all went into a wait about, let's take the top one here, 15:24:54. So if that's dump time, then you know the task just went into that wait. And that's different from if it had been suspended for several minutes. So you always need, when you look at the dispatcher summary, is to have right there with you the formatted store clock time of dump so you can see how long these tasks have been suspended. Just a millisecond or an hour or two or so. Okay, let's go to slide 20, please, Joseph. And there's the time of suspend, like what I talked about. Let's go to slide 21, please. So the one column there is the mode. So all of these are suspended on the QR, meaning when they are resumed, they'll be running on the QR. And then that last column over there is the task number. We don't call it that, but that's it. And so that's how you can relate to some of the other formatters, kernel or transaction manager. You can relate these tasks there by using the task number. Okay, let's go to slide 22, please. All right, now this one I believe is the main dump. So this is the dump where the store clock time of dump is 18:07. So the only task that's suspended, you see, is that top one. Is this some sort of event notification? I think that's sort of one of the usual suspects. You know, there's when you look at these dispatcher summaries, there's often a page at the top of system tasks, long-running, low task number tasks that are just always there. I think that's one of them. But we know that it has been suspended for 6 hours or so because the dump time is 18:07 in store clock terms. Actually, that could be a day and 6 hours. You wouldn't know from that because it doesn't give you the day. But anyway, I've circled there another one of the usual suspects that's running. You see the R on the CQ. That has to do with ever since we did the kill thing. So you can do kills of tasks if, say, the QR is hung up like it is in this dump. You could potentially kill that running task on the QR because it uses a separate TCB, and that's the CQ. But anyway, don't be confused by a task running on the CQ. That's normal. But the rest of the stuff in here is not normal. This sort of is typical for an unhealthy Kix. You can see at the bottom there's a task running on the QR, and then, of course, everybody else is waiting, is dispatchable on the QR. And that kind of fits with there being 4 minutes between the last time we've dispatched a task on the QR and dump time. Okay, let's go to slide 23, please, Joseph. So anyway, something's going on with that task. 68778 got control about 4 minutes ago and hasn't given control back up. You know, we sort of know the last time a task was dispatched from the QR. We're going to go and look at another control block to see when this task was dispatched from the QR, and it ought to be the same, and it is. So let's go ahead on with slide 24, please. So the way you do this is one of the columns there is the DTA, and that's the control block that represents each of these tasks to the dispatcher. So if you want to know when a task became running on a TCB, you can grab that DTA and find on it down further in the DS equals 3 output. Okay, let's go to slide 25, please, Joseph. And down there is the DTA. And an offset 58 is, this isn't exactly right. It can be up to 10 milliseconds off, but it's effectively the time the task was dispatched, the time it was made running. So you can grab that, get rid of that middle blank, and run it through that IPLTOD thing. Now let's do that on page 26, please, Joseph. And you can see that, indeed, the time this task was dispatched is the same thing as in the CSA. 18.03.01 in store clock terms, or in local terms, it's 13.03.01. So let's go to slide 27, please, Joseph. All right, so we know now that task 68778 has been running on the QR for about 4 minutes. And so anybody else who needed some QR time during that time was out of luck. And those tasks sit dispatchable. And very, very likely, yeah, they sit dispatchable. You know, attaching new tasks, like if new work were to come in from who knows where, often, I don't think always, but often the Kix tasks, you know, the trigger tasks or the TCP tasks, the tasks that would then take this new work and attach tasks for it, you know, they need to run on the QR too. So that's why you don't have a big pile up and you're not max task with all these tasks dispatchable. It's because we can't attach new tasks because Kix is kind of stuck. So in this case, it's clear. We need to figure out what task 68778 has been doing on the QR TCB, doing or not doing. We just know it hasn't done something to suspend to the Kix dispatcher again. Okay, slide 28, please, Joseph. So we want to know what it's been doing for the last 4 minutes. And oftentimes that's not easy. If you have trace, it can be much, much easier. But we can tell what's it doing now. What's it doing at dump time? And very, very usually what it's doing now is what it's been doing for the last 4 minutes. But the best place to sort of start to see what's it doing now is the MVS system trace. So let's look at that on slide 29, please. All right, before you look at the MVS system trace, you need to be armed with the ASID of this Kix region and the address of the QRTCB. So in any of the Kix formatters, like in this example I've done TR equals 2, up near the top it tells you the ASID and job name of the Kix region whose dump this is for. So you need to grab that. So 00 dog fox in this case. Let's go to slide 30, please. And then a Kix trace, because in trace we have the actual MVS TCB address of these various TCBs. So you can find on dash QR in the TR equals 2 output and get a hit on something like this, and there you have your QR TCB address. even if you don't have trace running, there will always be some exception trace entries where the TCB is the QR, and you can always find the MVS TCB address this way. Let's go to slide 31, please. All right, and then that top bullet is the systrace command to format out the trace entries for this address space and specifically for that TCB. And then I have time local, so the time is local like most everything else, except for the dispatcher summary. Okay, and so you hit enter on that, and you'll get something. Now, at the bottom, I have the actual output from this main dump that we've been working with, and you see that's what it looks like when there are no trace entries for that TCB on this ASID. So in this case, in whatever time at least is covered by the MVS system trace, which is typically, maybe a second or so, nothing has been going on. And so probably nothing has been going on for the entire 4 minutes. So that's good information. So we know that nothing has been going on. The other typical thing you would find is there'd be a loop. And then you'd have lots of trace entries for that TCB, typically. Okay, let's go to slide 32. And I believe I have an example of if it was a loop. This is from a different dump. I just wanted to show you what it would look like if it was looping. And this is a tight loop, which is pretty common, really. And so you get trace entries like this, and you notice the TSW addresses, which I have circled, are all kind of real close together, just a few instructions looping over and over and over and over. And so if you come to systrace and find something like that, then that's good. You found the problem. So let's go to slide 33. And I believe I talked a little bit about what you would do with that. You would grab those TSW addresses, and you need to go figure out what program that is. That middle bullet, the IP where, that's one way. If it's like an MVS loaded module, like if it's in a KIX module, like DFA SIP, sometimes this where will be able to tell you what the module name is. If it's like a KIX application program that KIX is loaded into its own DSAs, MVS doesn't have the information about the load points of those things. And so in that case, the where would not be able to tell you what it is. And you would need to do something like go to browse mode and go to that address and back up and look for a module header. Okay, let's go to slide 34, please. So if it's a case like where there's no trace entries, as would be the case in a hang, then you need to, in order to answer the question of, well, what have I been doing for the last 4 minutes, or what is this TCB doing at dump time, you need to go to some format. And that's the command, summ space format, that you would type in. And we need to go find the TCB control block and some of the other related control blocks and see what's going on. I think third from the bottom, I have the command sum space format space ASID and then put in the ASID. And that's important. If you just do sum format, you'll get sometimes not what you're expecting. It might be ASID1. Kind of depends on how the dump is taken. But it's always good if you specifically request the ASID that you know this KIX region was using. And then in that output, you find on the quote TCB colon space and then the TCB address. Okay, let's go to slide 35, please. And here's what one looks like in there. It can get all complicated in here, all the control blocks below this TCB. We're just going to do the fast path method to figure out what this TCB is waiting on. So that very first thing, the RBP, that's something you need to note, because we're going to find on it in just a minute. And you could also save those registers. Those are the registers where this TCB is now. Those registers match with a PSW address that we're going to get in an RB down below. So save those things, and then let's go to slide 36, and you're going to find on that address you got, that RBP address, like that, quote, RB colon space, and then the address. And you'll get a hit on some sort of RB, like right here it's an SVRB. That PSW, the OPSW there that I have circled, that's where control of this TCB is. Probably that's where somebody did an OA below 1. If that's the case, you'll have that 01 in that little link field like I have underlined there. And just like in systrace, we need to take that PSW address and figure out what program that is. So let's go to slide 37. I think this is is a bit more detail. You do need to worry about that higher order 80-bit in these PSW addresses and get rid of it so that, in this case, that 9727-8362, get rid of that 80-bit and it leaves a 17278362. That higher order 8 really isn't part of the address. And then you can do a where or go to browse mode. You can check out if the if back up 2 bytes and see if that really is an OA001, an SCC1. And then back on up and see what the program is. And whatever the program is where the weight came from. In this dump, it was not a KIX module. It was another non-KIX module, not IBM module it was in this case. Okay, so let's see what's on slide 38. In one sense, we're kind of done here. So we found the module that is currently waiting the QRTCB, and sort of the assumption is that it's been that way for the whole 4 minutes. You know, if that's a KIX module, you'd call us, or it could be a vendor, it could be application programs, and you just sort of know where to continue diagnosis based on whose program it is. But it's also always nice to sort of put it into context. What has my task done that caused me to be in this program, PROGUSER3X 2008? And a good source of that is the program domain. So let's look at that on slide 39. Okay, because remember, we have a particular task, I forget what the number was, 38778 or something, that we know has been running on the QR for the last 4 minutes. And so in this PG equals 1 output, you can get a nice little sort of a application program stack of who called who that we're currently at dump time. And you get that by doing that find, like in the middle bullet, on the transpace num. I believe that's a space colon space, and then the task number. Let's take a look at that on slide 40, please, Joseph. So here's this. The first little thing, the task LLE summary that I didn't circle, that can sometimes be big. These are programs that, like, have been loaded, but I'm not necessarily in at the moment. COBOL calls, those programs end up in this LLE summary, and sometimes that can be pages, actually. But here, what I really want you to see is below that on the task PLCB summary. And this is sort of where I am now. And you read this from the bottom up. You can see that bottom program, PROG001, says level 1, and the one above that is level 2 and level 3. So control has gone from program 1 to program 2 to program 3 in this case. You can also use that invoking program over on the right side. You see INV. And at each level, this tells you what program invoked the program at that level. Often, you know, it's 1 invoked 2 and 2 invoked 3. This one is slightly different because there's a transfer control involved. But basically, you can see, okay, this task basically, essentially is program 1 called program 2 called program 3. You know, I've changed these names, but, you know, hopefully in your shop, they might be names that you know and recognize and it would give you some context to see the stack of application programs. But anyway, so from KIX's perspective, the program in control at dump time is this PROG003. And of course, the program that did the wait is not PROG003, it was PROG003X. So somehow, probably without using KIX services, control branched from PROG003 to PROG003X. Once you get to this level, you just know, you know, it would be whoever knows and supports these programs would be able to take it from here. Okay, so let's see what's on slide 41, please. Okay, and trace. So we haven't talked about trace yet, but it can be really valuable in these things, sort of to help you set the context. In trace as well, you need to keep in mind these times, like when the dump was taken and when the task was last dispatched on the QR. Because it could be that the task is actually doing things during the loop, is making KIX services. And like, even in this case where KIX is unhealthy and this one task has been in control of the QRTCB for 4 whole minutes, it still could be doing exec KIX calls. It could be doing exec KIX assign, exec KIX get main, exec KIX free main, things that don't suspend the task, but stuff that does make trace entries. We sort of know in this dump that that's not the case because in the system trace nothing was going on for this TCB. So you wouldn't expect that anything would be different in the Kix trace. So what you would do is you would do TR equals 2 and match to the bottom and find backwards on dash QR, and you'll get the last trace entries for the QR. And in this dump, it really was this task, 68778, and the time was 4 minutes ago. So this task hasn't been doing things during the 4 minutes. It got hung right off the bat. I believe I say on the next slide, let's take a look, Joseph, on slide 42. I think I give you, I believe, the short version of this task. So these are the last trace entries for the QRTCB. And you can see they happened 4 minutes ago at 1303.01. And it's a very helpful context. You can see, okay, I did a transfer control. I circled that RET, the very top circle. That tells you the address of the program that did that exec kicks transfer control. And then I circled the next one down, the fact that this transfer control is going to prog 0003. And then the very last exec kicks command is exec kicks address. I circled that, and you can see I entered kicks to process that address command, and then I exited, EIP exit. So Kix completed that exec kicks address command, and then the world stops. And this is where, in this case, the program did something to invoke that program that waited the whole QRTCP. And then note the time. And the time here is local time. So that matches up exactly with that CSA plus 50 time. Okay, let's go to slide 43, please, Joseph. And I think I've talked about all those things. So let's go ahead to slide 44, and that's it. So just to summarize, you got to know the time of the dump and the time Kix thinks it is, and that CSA plus 50 time is a good one to use for that. And you need to remember that those dispatcher summary times have not been adjusted for time zone or leap second, so you need to use that store clock, that formatted store clock time for the time of the dump when looking in the dispatcher summary. Decide if Kix is healthy or not. And if it's unhealthy, then you can continue on with what we talked about in this pitch and use system trace and some format and the dispatcher summary and all that stuff to piece together why things stopped, in this case, about 4 minutes ago. You know, some of them are fairly straightforward, like this one. I mean, a good many of them are. But there's always, you know, strange forks in the road and, you know, all of us who've done this for a long time run into these. And so if you're going through one of these and it just starts to be very different, then let us help you. But a fair number of them, I think you'll find are straightforward, and you could, quicker than we could tell you, find out, you know, the source of why a Kix region is hung. And it's fun too.
Thank you, Dan, for a great presentation. At this point, Jennifer, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We just had one person queue up. We'll take that question from Joanne Leeson with Sears Canada.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. This is a pretty basic dump question. That's why I was kind of waiting till the end. My apologies if this sounds kind of dumb. It's been a while since I've looked at dumps. Just questioning about the comment of when you take off the high order 8 when you're looking at the address.
Yes.
Is that basically true? Anytime you see a 9 at the front, you take off the high order 8 to to search on the address? How do you know when to take off the high order number?
Yes, you always take it off.
Okay.
So, yeah, if it's a 9, then it should be a 1. You know, if it's like a baker, you still have to take it off. You know, like a baker would be a 3.
Okay, you always take off the 8 from
there. That's right.
Okay, fair enough. That was an easy one. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And we have no further questions at this time.
Thank you, Jennifer. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.